It's crunch time on Bill 24.
The Notley government has a majority and they are able to pass this. They have the votes to do so. And for them to back away now, I don't see that happening. But even if it seems humanly impossible that Bill 24 would be stopped, we still have a duty as Christians to warn them that what they're doing is wrong.
On the feature today, the latest information on a law in Alberta that would strip parental authority from virtually all schools in that province. In the news, the Commons Justice Committee has voted to keep Section 176 of the Criminal Code. That's the section that expressly protects church services from disruption. The Alberta government's being taken to court for denying an adoption application from a couple because of their Christian beliefs. And some analysis today from one of the interveners in that major Supreme Court ruling on religious freedom that we told you about last week.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Parliament's Justice Committee has voted in favor of a measure that will keep Section 176 of the Criminal Code. That's the section that makes it a crime to disrupt, quote, an assemblage of persons met for religious worship. It also forbids anyone from, quoting again, obstructing a clergyman or minister from celebrating divine service. The government had argued the section was unnecessary and redundant because there were other sections of the criminal code that could be used to prosecute these kinds of crimes. But ARPA and a host of other religious groups had argued that worship services were different in kind from other public assemblies that might be disrupted. Part of the reason cited by committee members in their change of heart was what one of them called an avalanche of emails that had arrived on the issue in the days before the vote on this. That avalanche included more than 1,200 emails sent through ARPA's EasyMail system. Law and Policy Director Andre Schutten says this case is a good illustration of the way things are supposed to work.
When it comes to political action on this file, I think it's been a great example of the requirement of Christians to do both prayer and work. It's not enough for us to just pray. Many people might have been tempted to just pray, please, Lord, protect religious worship services, make sure that the committee changes its mind and keeps Section 176. But if we just prayed and we didn't work, I'm not so sure that God would have been pleased to answer that prayer. But God is pleased to work through his people so that when they pray and then also turn around and work, they do send an easy mail, they do communicate with their MP respectfully, then we do see God being pleased to bless our work so that we do in fact see religious freedom protected. And I think it's a great lesson for all of us and a great encouragement for all of us.
We hope to have Andre on for the feature interview on this topic for next week's program. The Alberta government's being taken to court over a decision by the Provincial Ministry of Children's Services to deny a Christian couple's application to adopt a child. The case is being launched by the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms in Calgary. The center's John Carpe says initially the couple was approved to adopt an older child.
The home study had glowing praise that they were loving and caring and supportive and that they would make wonderful parents. But the government didn't like the fact that when they were asked, okay, if your child was same-sex attracted and wanted to explore their sexuality, what would you say? And they said, well, we believe in the Bible, and we believe that sex is a gift that's reserved for marriage between a man and a woman, and that they wouldn't encourage the child to explore his sexuality or explore her sexuality. And I think that they would say the same thing, whether the child was same-sex attracted or opposite-sex attracted. They also made it clear when asked, what would you do if your child was a teenager and said that they were gay? What would be your response? And they said, well, we would love the child. We'd love the child unconditionally. And also, we would say, don't act out on these desires. Kind of what you'd expect from evangelical Christians, or for that matter, Muslims, Orthodox Jews, practicing Catholics, Sikhs and Hindus, whatever.
The rejection was actually delivered by the Catholic Social Services Agency in Edmonton. Carpe says while that's disappointing, it's also not really surprising.
How Catholic Social Services handled this was not what you would expect. But ultimately, Catholic Social Services gets over 90% of its funding from government, and they take their marching orders from the government. And it was the involvement of the Child and Family Government Ministry that really made this determination ultimately. The Catholic Social Services were basically just an arm of the government here with not much independence.
Meantime, Mike Schutten at We Need a Law has been watching this case. He says there's something we should notice in the message that's behind the government decision.
It makes me think of all the people who, in our line of work, where we're advocating for preborn human rights, they will tell us that, oh, you Christians only care about people before they're born. That's all you care about. You don't care about them after they're born. How come you're not helping them after they're born? And here we have another example of Christians who, out of the goodness of their heart, want to help born children who need a stable home, and then they get told they can't because their values, their ideologies don't line up with those of a particular government at the time. And that, of anything, infuriates me the most.
The court case likely won't end up before a judge until sometime late next year. And finally, some analysis of a Supreme Court of Canada decision we told you about last week involving freedom of religion. The case centered on claims that the object of native spirituality for the Tunaha Indian Band in BC should be protected by the charter. The object of that faith is the grizzly bear spirit. The band claims that spirit lives in a valley that's scheduled for conversion to a ski resort. In a nutshell, the Supreme Court ruled that while the Tunaha were entitled to believe whatever they wanted, and even to act on that belief, the object of their belief, that grizzly bear spirit, was not entitled to charter protection. Derek Ross appeared before the Supreme Court as an intervener in support of the Tunaha claim on behalf of the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. He says even though his side lost, there was a positive in the decision.
The majority affirmed that freedom of religion has both private and public dimensions. So we're not just free to hold beliefs, we're free to act on them and disseminate them. And it also made it clear that freedom of religion is something that is practiced in community with others. And this is important because there was some suggestion in the courts below that religion is understood as primarily private and belonging to the individual. And the majority here has really made it clear that it has public and communal dimensions as well.
If you're interested, Mr. Ross has written a more detailed analysis of that decision. It's online. We link to it from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. Back with more after this.
The Alberta government needs to hear from us, and we need your help. Bill 24 creates an environment that assumes parents are a detriment to the well-being of their own children. We need your help in developing a counter-narrative to Bill 24 by reaching out to your MLA as soon as possible. Send an easy mail at easy.arpacanada.ca. Also, the reality is most MLAs get very few phone calls from concerned members in their ridings. A phone call makes them stop and take notice in a way that an email cannot. So, send an easy mail or call your MLA today.
Bill 24 is the topic for our feature today. The Alberta Legislature is set to resume committee hearings later today on Bill 24. It could be law by the end of the week. It's called an Act to Protect Gay-Straight Alliances. ARPA has launched a major initiative to oppose this bill, including the phone calls and easy mails you just heard about from Colin Postma. On the line with me today, ARPA lawyer John Sikkema and Mike Schutten. They've been doing a lot of work on this file in the past week or so. John, I want to start with you. Give us some of the legislative background on this. Bill 24 is kind of an outworking or a strengthening, in a sense, of Bill 10. That was the original law that enabled the establishment of these GSAs, and it was then incorporated into the Education Act. What exactly is the difference between what's on the books in Alberta now and what's being proposed in Bill 24?
Bill 10 required gay-straight alliances and also enacted a new provision that talks about school policies that need to create a welcoming environment and affirm diversity and those things. But interestingly, Section 45, that created Section 45 of the Schools Act, and that actually didn't apply to private schools. So it hasn't been clear that the minister has actually had legal authority to require these schools to submit those policies. So what Bill 24 does is to make it very clear that schools need both policies and that its policies have to comply with the Alberta Human Rights Code.
And then there's also the whole question of parental rights and the fact that parents can't be notified now in law if their kid joins a GSA, right?
That's right. So one of the things that this bill does is it actually prohibits notifying parents concerning any activity intended to promote diversity. So any activity or any club, including a GSA and a child's participation in that club, you may not tell the parent. And the principal is responsible for making sure that only the existence of a GSA goes public and is told to parents, but not anything beyond that.
The Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms has done some legal analysis on this thing, and it says there's definitely possibilities of a constitutional challenge. What do you think that might be based on?
I would say one of the most obvious things is the bill undermines Christian schools' freedom of association and equality under law. So it would penalize them for remaining faithful to a Christian sexual ethic and having that inform their policies and their practices. And if you look at the Loyola case, we see that as unnecessarily interfering with a religious community's ability to pass on the faith and to teach a certain ethic from a religious perspective. It interferes with parental rights because it interferes with parents' ability to transmit their faith and ethics to their children. That's kind of a principle recognized in Alberta law, too, that teachers stand in the place of parents. And that's something that the Supreme Court recognizes in the Loyola case as well, the right of parents to transmit their faith and ethics to children.
Mike, you've been working on some grassroots lobbying stuff against this bill alongside ARPA's grassroots manager, Colin Postma. The government moved this bill through the system really quickly, two readings in just a few days. Committee hearings started the day after that last week. The hearings expected to wrap up later today. That means we could have third reading and royal assent by the end of the week. What's the big urgency here from the government's perspective, you think?
I suspect that a big part of the urgency is because of not only the response of grassroots, but also the response of the other parties in the Alberta legislature. This was dubbed by some people on social media as Kenny's Law, because it was seen as an attempt by the Notley government to really use this as a wedge issue and make life essentially very miserable for Jason Kenney, who is a social conservative and has always voted socially conservative when it comes to these type of issues. Jason Kenney's response has been very strategic, very smart, and it's, I think, scared Rachel Notley into thinking we better just pass this quickly before it all of a sudden turns on us and makes our life more miserable.
This past weekend, hundreds of ARPA supporters and other people sent easy mails to their MLAs in Alberta. The count, last I heard, was up at over 1,500, close to 2,000. Also a radio ad campaign trying to motivate the general public on this, some uptake there. Given all that public pressure, is there any chance, do you think, the government might hit pause on all this?
Humanly speaking, when we look at this, it doesn't seem like it. The Notley government in Alberta has a majority, and they are able to pass this. They have the votes to do so. And for them to back away now, I don't see that happening. But even if it seems humanly impossible that Bill 24 would be stopped, we still have a duty as Christians to warn them that what they're doing is wrong, that the way that they're interfering between that sacrosanct relationship between parents and children, the way they're doing that is incorrect. It's not only unconstitutional, as John aptly pointed out, but it also violates morals and ethics that we hold very dear. I mean, we're not talking here about a government who's proposing, you know, infrastructure investment or something. We're talking about a government whose intent is to come between that very sacred relationship between parents and their children and the responsibilities parents have for their children. So I think that the response has been incredible from our supporters in Alberta, as well as the work that we've been doing with radio ads and some of the social media advertising. It's very clear that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are willing to get motivated and are motivated on Bill 24 to actually have their say and ensure that the government doesn't pass this thinking that they have the full support of the people that they govern over.
So what lessons could ARPA learn from this whole issue? I mean, I was talking to somebody on the weekend who said we should have, and hindsight is 2020, but we should have taken a firmer stand when Bill 10 was first introduced, and then we wouldn't be where we are today. Is that legitimate? Like I said, hindsight's 2020.
Mm-hmm. I'll let John speak a few thoughts if he has any, but I think one of the things that we can learn from this is that we need to, as an organization and all the people who are working alongside of ARPA Canada, we need to start working on the relationships we have with public office holders well in advance of these kind of bills coming forward. Up till this point, often it's a bill comes forward and then we're either in favor of or opposed to it. We should be having relationships with these public office holders in advance so that, God willing, they wouldn't even think of putting these kind of things forward because we've been working alongside them up till this point. And I just want to put a plug in for our 12-step action plan that ARPA has been promoting, because that is the sole intent of that.
John, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I agree, of course, with what Mike said about building relationships. I mean, ARPA has been doing work on this since Bill 10 was introduced and trying to provide resources for schools to say, look, this is the direction the government's taking. We want to equip you to take a principled stand on your school's beliefs to say, we agree with a welcoming school environment. We want to do that. You know, as Christians, of course, we want to do that. And the commandment to love each other makes, you know, we cannot permit bullying and all that. And how do you do that in a Christian way and not just reacting to government? So try to get schools to be proactive, I think, has been a priority for ARPA in the interim between Bill 10 and this bill. But in order for those resources to be used not only by schools, but also considered by MLAs, I think those relationships are important.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.